Springbok test ticket prices are too high, and SARU are taking advantage of Springbok supporters. Today, you are going to get a front row seat as I examine these claims and try to figure out if we really are being taken for a ride in South Africa. This has become a hot button topic, and SARU President Mark Alexander came out to defend the pricing of the tickets. The very same tickets that have recently gone on sale for the Springboks home tests in 2025. To give you an idea, the prices range from 250 Rand all the way up to 3,000 Rand. Now, to be clear, the 250 Rand tickets are basically the nosebleed seats. In other words, you're probably sitting behind the posts or in some far up corner. 3,000 Rand gets you something closer to the halfway line. Now, this might be a tad laughable, but you could get a 1995 Rugby World Cup ticket for 220 Rand. There's a great website called inflationtool.com that can calculate for us what a ticket should cost in 2025 as per South Africa's inflation over the years. Well, it looks like we should be paying 1,050 Rand for our Springbok tickets in 2025. The actual price is nearly 3x that. Now, that's official inflation, but then there's also real inflation, right? So, for example, the petrol price doesn't exactly keep to inflation. Otherwise, we'd be paying less than 10 Rand a litre for petrol in our country. So, in 1995, a McDonald's junior cheeseburger in South Africa cost 3 Rand. Don't ask me how on earth I can remember that. In 2025, that same cheeseburger will cost you 29 Rand 90. So effectively 10x. Hardly keeping up with inflation, hey? So in official terms, our Springbok match ticket should cost us about 3 times less than it actually does. And even by my own bespoke McD's cheeseburger index, the ticket should still only cost around 2,200 Rand, which is roughly 70% of the actual SARU price. And I think part of the outrage over the ticket prices is because tickets were charged at around 100, 200, 300, maybe 400 for such a long time, and then it suddenly jumped up to 1,000, and then suddenly to 2,000, and this is where people have become perhaps unreasonable, if you are to hear from Plattekloof, but maybe we are being very reasonable. So yes, I think that by these numbers that I've revealed to you, we are coming in for a bit of a rough ride. Alexander, of course, is defending the prices. Here's what he had to say. Rugby test matches in South Africa remain among the most affordable top-tier sporting events, especially when compared to global tournaments with significant operational costs. While other major international sporting events carry premium pricing, South African rugby continues to prioritize accessibility for fans. Does Alexander have a point? Well, in England, a McDonald's junior cheeseburger will set you back £1.39, which is equivalent to 33 Rand 58. I'd say that's close enough with South Africa, slightly cheaper, as it turns out, by around 10%, we being slightly cheaper. Having said that, as someone who has spent a decent amount of time abroad, you should never, ever do the currency conversion. But in light of Alexander's comments, in this case, I can see no other way. Now we'll compare our Springbok prices to Twickenham prices. England test match ticket prices also vary depending on who they're playing. A ticket to watch the Poms play Fiji is cheaper than a ticket to watch them play us, for example. Still, you're looking at around £85 for a Category 4 ticket, which is their cheapest option. £85? Let's call that 2,000 Rand. Remember, that's the cheapest ticket, whereas our cheapest is 250 Rand. If you want a Category 1 ticket at Twickenham, that's the most expensive one, you are looking at around £200. Now we're talking around 4,800 rand. Okay, I think from that we can clearly deduct, cheeseburger prices factored in or not, that it's cheaper to attend Test Match Rugby in South Africa than it is in England. But there's another very important factor we've not spoken about yet, purchasing power. Now, we're not talking about Johan Rupert or Richard Branson here, but we are talking about the average South African and the average Englishman. And the average South African has significantly lower purchasing power than the average Englishman. This is due to differences in income levels, cost of living, etc. South Africa's GDP per capita is around $6,000 to $7,000, while the UK's is about $48,000 to $50,000. Simply put, that means the average Englishman is 7 to 8 times better off than the average South African. Now, I grant you that our unemployment is somewhere around 40%, so that obviously helps to skew those numbers. But the fact remains, the average Englishman is better off, and significantly so, than the average South African. And yes, our cost of living is a little bit lower than theirs, but that doesn't even begin to close the gap. These people have got the kind of disposable income that makes attending high-priced sporting events a weekly activity rather than an annual treat, as it is in many of our cases. And how about an anecdote? A British friend of mine, yes, yes, I actually do have friends who hail from Britain, she told me that after high school, she worked in a binding factory. She wasn't the owner or the manager. She was down there binding folders. She managed to save her money, and after 6 months, and I grant you she was still living with her parents and obviously not having to pay rent and all that sort of stuff, but after saving her money for 6 months, her and a friend went on holiday to Thailand. Isn't that nice? I'm sorry, but a South African working in a binding factory in South Africa isn't leaving their province, whether you're living with your parents or not. Alexander does acknowledge this in his defense. That's why there is a sliding scale in the way prices are set. People want a winning team, and then come the win bonuses. But the money comes in one door, it goes out the next. It's an ongoing battle. The minute you open a 50,000-seater stadium, there are security requirements you have to adhere to. You pay for the visiting team and the assembly of our players. A lot of our players come from outside the country. We have to ensure that there is insurance to cover them if something happens to them. Now, I do have a degree of sympathy here for Alexander and Saru. There are costs that come with these things, and it's not cheap. And the truth is that when it comes to the economics of it all, we are typically fighting an uphill battle. And so with that in mind, I guess they're trying to find the best middle ground scenario. But the conclusion here is that our Springbok Test Match tickets are overpriced. And while there is a scale of prices, as Alexander points out, at the top end, they're basically like petrol. They have outpaced inflation. And that's sad for the South African rugby fan. Because even though it's cheaper for us to go to Test Rugby than it is for an Englishman, the Englishman has 7 to 8x the purchasing power that we have. But what do you think? Have you been priced out of a Springbok Test match? Or do you accept the prices are going to just become more and more expensive and you'll try your best to go when you can? Let me know in the comment section down below. And on the topic of money, may I encourage you to sign up for my Patreon page? If you want great benefits like Springbok merchandise, match day tickets at less than the actual Saru price, i.e. you could get them for free, Zoom Q&As with me, or you'd like me to write an ebook for you on your favorite player, why not head on over to my Patreon page and sign up? You can also get your name displayed in my YouTube videos. And it starts from as little as $5 per month. That's US, not Namibian. The reason I want your support is because I would love to do this full time. And I would also love to go to Australia and cover the Rugby World Cup for you in 2027 with daily content from Down Under. So if you're keen to join my dream team and support me, the link is in the description area below. In advance, thank you for your support, and I'll speak to you next time.